Today, Pomerania is a historical region stretching along the Baltic Sea in Poland and in Germany. So, you can see. But I would like to refer to groundbreaking transformations in the life of Baltic communities in the 12th century. It means introduction of Christianity as an official religion and encompassing them in the circle of Christian monarchies. In those days, the name Pomeranians, Pomerani, Pomorani in Latin, defined a community, gens or natio, treated as a separate ethnic entity and political subject. The very name Pomeranians indicates that they lived near the sea, which was stressed as early as the 12th century by Herbert of Michelsberg. In the east, the Pomeranians neighbored with Prussians, in the south with Poland, and in the west with the Lutici tribes. In the 70s of the 11th century, Adam of Bremen described the location in the following way. The earliest records related to the Pomeranians indicate that they did not form a political unity and in fact were composed of a few tribes, just like Lutici, their neighbors. However, this did not prevent authors from characterizing them as the one nation, gens, natio. This was the way of treating the Pomeranians in the environments in which the sources were created. Thus, in this case, we are dealing with what is characteristic of such an external perspective, which expressed not only the geographic concept, but also reflected political tendencies among Christian neighbors of Pomerania. Its land fell into their expansion zone as early as the 10th century. And one should mention here, first of all, Poland, Germany, and Denmark. At the times of the first Polish ruler, Mieszko I, in the second half of the 10th century, the control of the Pomeranian land was taken by Poland. However, it lasted only until the 30s of the 11th century at latest. Attempts to regain control made by later Polish rulers turned out to be short-lived until the times of the Bolesław the Rymus. It's from 19th century, of course. and more precisely, until the second decade of the 12th century. This means that earlier, for nearly one century, the Pomeranian tribes belonged to the Barbaricum area, neighboring with Christianitas, circle in which the idea of Roman universalism still was an important component in shaping the international order. In Central Europe, being the main zone of influence for the Roman Empire at that time, de facto it was a German influence zone, the general Christian and Roman issues were closely tied with current local political issues. A good example for this is the competition between Poland and Germany, and more strictly speaking about Duchy of Saxony for the control of Western Pomerania. For Poland, cooperation with Holy See, papacy, gained special importance in this contest because church-related issues offered very good legitimization for political actions in barbarian zone. It is very well depicted in the politics of Bolesław the Rymus, who conquered the Pomeranians about 1120 and imposed on them not only the tribute and alliance obligations like military service, but also the duty to adopt Christianity. In this way, as the one who Christianized pagans, he confirmed his right to the conquered land. However, this way of acting should not be treated as a form of rivalry with the empire for missions among pagans. The then Reich was a conglomerate of numerous political organisms with contradictory interests. For example, at the stage of the already mentioned conquest of Pomerania, the chief German rival of Polish ruler in this matter, Duke Lothar of Supplinburg, was in conflict with his superior Emperor Henry. In this situation, even if Bolesław the Reymold could not count on the Emperor's support for his Pomeranian plans, he could at least rally on his amicable neutrality. And he was not disappointed, because thanks to Henry's permission, in 1124, Otto, the Bishop of Bamberg, set off on Christianization mission to Pomerania. The initiator of this missionary journey was Bolesław the Reymold, who extended an invitation to Otto to undertake evangelization of newly conquered pagans. It is worth emphasizing that the mission was addressed to the West Pomeranian Duchy, which had to accept forced Polish control over its territory. However, it did not lose its political autonomy. The situation of the eastern part of Pomerania was quite different, as it was incorporated into Poland. These political circumstances of the Pomeranian mission described Herbert of Michelsberg. His work is the third of Saint Otto's biographies. Vita were written during the two decades after protagonist's death in 1139. So, the earliest work, most probably written before 1146, is the so-called Vita Priflingensis, Life of Prifening, titled after a place near Regensburg, Ratisbon, where the home abbey of the anonymous author was located. It was most probably used by Ebo, the author of the second life of Otto of Bamberg. Ebo was a monk from Michelsberg, near Bamberg, and he wrote his work in the 50s of the 12th century. However, earlier mentioned Herbert, also a monk from Michelsberg at the same time, polemicized with content of Ebo's work. The whole biographical triptych is an example of the so-called Vita Episcoporum, Lives of Bishops, which have a value of historiography and often also a value of hagiography, just like in case of Otto of Bamberg. His lives contributed to the development of the pre-canonization cult. He was canonized in 1189. These works were one form of shaping memory about the late bishop. It was significant not only from social, but also from cultural perspective. Memory, memoria, understood in this way, is expressed in various actions whose common goal, based on theological assumption, is experiencing the presence of the deceased based on anamnesis, reminiscence, especially in liturgy, prayer or meditation. In this context, on one hand, the role of Otto's biography was to consolidate memory about his life, and on the other hand, to create holistic interpretation of its attitudes and achievements, and also the phenomenon of his holiness. It is not accidental that two of these biographies were written in Michelsberg Abbey, as the Otto, as a bishop of Bamberg, was buried in this abbey, and more strictly speaking, in the church he founded. From the first years after his death, his grave attracted pilgrims, especially on the anniversary of his death. Otto took under his care dozens of abbeys, including also St. George Monastery in Prüfeningen, where the above earlier mentioned Vita Prüfeningensis was created. The achievement of the anonymous author of this life was establishing the basic canon of interpretation of Otto's accomplishment in two dimensions: patronage of monasteries and apostolate of pagans. It is characteristic that as many as two out of three books in this work praise the achievements of the protagonist in the conversion of pagans, Pomeranians. They had their centers on land, but also into islands, Wolin and Usedom, which became the theater of missionary activity. The already mentioned Otto's missionary expedition in 1124 is described in the second book of Vita Prüfeningensis, and in the third book there is a description of his second journey to the Baltic Sea in 1128. He undertook this journey to continue the conversion of pagans and mainly to counteract apostasy of the neophytes who had turned to Christianity 4 years later. It is not my translation, and I should be fine with it a bit. So, the Pomeranians allegedly returned to the cult of a pagan god named Triglav, but without rejecting the cult of Christ, and thus practiced syncretic double fight. Their trespass was compared with Samaritan scene described in the Bible. They combined fight of God with idolatry. The final part of Otto's life, the crown of his achievement, in the opinion of the monk of Prüfeningen, was establishing a bishopric in Pomerania. The famous missionary managed to prepare a ring blessed by the Pope for the first bishop of Pomerania. The first of the earlier mentioned Otto's expeditions was presented in Vita Prüfeningensis as the participation on the act of the apostles, and this concept was particularly developed in Ebbo's work. He also devoted two out of three books in his work to missionary achievements of Bishop of Bamberg, and he did not hesitate to openly call him the Apostle of Pomeranians, who, like St. Paul, gave spiritual birth to the new people in Christ, the Pomeranians, of course. In this way, Ebbo numbered Otto among apostles, together with St. Peter as the Apostle of Judea, St. Paul, Apostle of Greece, Thomas, India, and from later epochs, St. Gregory as the Apostle of Angles. The grant for such distinction of Otto was the interpretation of his accomplishment during the first expedition to pagans, presented in the second book of Ebbo's work. In the third book, he increased the apostolic glory of his hero, emphasizing that during his journey in 1128, he converted one more Gens named Gens Uznoim. So, in fact, is this region. You can see. It's area of Lutetian tribes, but it was here named as Gens Uznoim from the city Uznam, Uzedom, in this place, probably, as I can see. And maybe it's better go back here. The author also stresses the activity about reconversion of Pomerania. From apostasy, and he extensively described fighting with the consequences of this apostasy. This deviation did not encompass the whole Pomerania. It was consolidated only in Szczecin, and did not last in Volin, the most important centers of Pomeranians. However, thanks to a theological interpretation of this trespass as sowing weeds in wet, Ebbo considered this wasting all the achievements of the first mission. In this way, not the first mission, but only the second, showed full glory of Otto as an apostle and reviver of Christianity. Herbold had a polemical attitude to this interpretation of the Bishop of Bamberg achievements. He was skeptical about the idea of calling him the apostle. He also decisively emphasized the value of first expedition to pagans, treating the second one as only finishing the work started earlier. To achieve this effect, he considered Pomerania as the whole theater of the activity during both of Otto's expeditions. In this way, he eliminated Gens Uznoim from the stage of history and treated Lutetian part of West Pomeranian Duchy as a Pomerania. So, he minimized the significance of apostasy, stressing that even in Szczecin there was a fraction which remained Christian. Moreover, he emphasized the significance of the conquest of Pomeranians by Bolesław the Rajmuch, which allowed their evangelization. In this vision, Otto became the executor of Polish rulers' plans. The task of missionary was creating a new church community, and the key to success was persuading the barbarians to be baptized, regardless of the fact that the conversion decision was imposed on them as the result of the conquest, and thus convincing them that their old religion was simple a wrong way. Herbold appreciated the significance of this accomplishment, but did not want to consider it equal to apostolic ideals from the time of early primitive church. Herbold interpreted the conquest of Pomeranians in the crusade spirit, attributing actions of Bolesław the Reimuth in accordance with the rule. Either pagans will convert or they will be annihilated. While Evo presented harassing the Pomeranians with wars as an important obstacle in undertaking missions. Only when Otto arrived to Pomeranians after their conversion, it was possible to build peace and brotherhood in fight among them, Pomeranians and Poles. In this way, Ebo created an image of an evangelizer introducing the order of the Kingdom of God in a way which was worth name of an apostle of Pomeranians. The debate of hagiographers on awarding Otto with this title belonged to a wider context of a discussion which was conducted in the church milieu of the 12th century, and it was related to the monastic reform. Ebo, supporting the tradition of Benedictine piety, proved that following its ideals by Otto allowed him to achieve holiness, which manifested itself in the area which was in the most serious spiritual danger, in the kingdom of the devil, in Regno Diaboli. It means among pagans. Evangelization conducted by Otto was accompanied by miraculous healings, like in the New Testament, confirming the achievement of apostolic ideal of holiness. Herbold, distancing himself from awarding Otto the apostolic title, by no means denied his holiness. However, the miracles confirming this verdict, which were worth of church of the first centuries, presented only at his grave in the wall of the Michelsburg Abbey. This author supported the idea of Cistercian reform, and in this optics, monasteries were asylum places, secret hidings from the evil flooding the world at the end of the ages. The mission among pagans as such were treated by Herbert as establishment of a new community of believers, Pomerania, whose beloved turned out to be Otto. He represents the ideal of the bishop and guardian of the church, and especially monks. Close historical content in both narratives became a background for significantly different theological messages. The ones signaled here are only a tip of the mountain. In this presented world of lives, especially after taking into consideration the indicated specifics of the interpretation of events, it is possible to find characteristic features of missionary strategy, of Otto's missionary strategy and practice, as well as a number of historical circumstances accompanying them. I will take an encyclopedic approach to present them. The goal of both of Otto's missions were the creation of a lasting church organization in Western Pomerania. Its basis were to be communities of neophytes practicing Christianity every day in the most important local centers. The guardianship of this network of local church communities until the establishment of Pomeranian bishopric was to be taken by Otto as a bishop of Bamberg de facto lifelong as external care.